ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 125 of the report. And we rocking out to a little bit of this old Jeezy, man. Party with your boy. Going on with you. It's episode 125 of the Span Report podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and today I am joined. I got a guest today for you guys, man. This guy's been in podcasting for a minute. Controversial figure. He runs a site called The Onyx Truth, and he also has a podcast called The Onyx Truth. I got the homie Gil Laurie here with me. Say what's up to the people, fam.
Hey, what's happening? Can you hear me?
Oh yeah, we can hear you, man. It's loud as hell too.
Oh damn.
Yeah, man. But what's going on with you, man? What you been up to?
I'm doing pretty well, man. Do I still sound real loud?
It's a little bit better. It's not as loud as it was before. Let me turn this damn cheesy down though.
My bad, man.
I still bang out to that shit, man.
Already got a new album coming out too.
Oh yeah,
Trap or Die 3, something like that.
Oh, okay. Keep it simple, I guess, right?
I'm surprised the dude's like 40 years old still talking about trapping, but yeah, it is what it is.
Well, you know how that go, man. Like, you know, he found his lane, he decided to stick to it, you know. But I mean, outside of that, like, what else were you really expecting from Jeezy? You know what I mean? Like, like after a while, like if you expected Jeezy to just get out here and start rapping about some philosophical shit, like on some Socrates, you know, what was that? What was all those Greek philosophers, man? You got Socrates, Aristotle,
Plato,
Cats, Plato. Yeah. You know, like, you know, I'm not expecting any sort of shit like that from Jeezy. So if he's still 40 talking about trapping, then damn it, let him be 40 and still talking about trapping, man. Like, somebody, there's a market for that shit for somebody. So
yeah, I guess I can agree with you on that. So
yeah. But for those who aren't aware of you, man, and aren't aware of the Onyx Truth, man, tell them tell us, man, how you got started with the Onyx Truth and how that came to be.
Alright, so December 2013, I started a blog called the Onyx Truth website.
Yeah.
So mainly a website about black topics, black culture, black society, and all that stuff. And then I want to say about a month or so after that, I discovered the world of podcasting, and I thought, man, I can do this too. And then about 2 months after that, I started the Onyx Truth podcast, and that was March of 2014, and here we are, whatever month, what month are we in right now? September? Yeah, so we're going on 2 years of some change of the Onyx Truth podcast, and it started off as a little solo show, but then I started adding other different shows with other hosts who want to talk about different things, and you know, we kind of went through our little ups and downs, but you know, we're still in there making it do what it do. So yeah.
Okay. So like, you got like a collection of people who write for the Onyx Truth blog, man. Like, how did you even get that ball rolling?
When I initially started, I just asked people to if they wanted to contribute to the website, to write whatever it is they want to talk about. And because I didn't want to initially just be the only voice of the website to where it's just strictly my opinion and my thoughts about society, because I know a lot of people don't agree with some of the things I say, and then I know a lot of people do agree. So I just asked people to come on, and a lot of people came on. Some people left peacefully, some left non-peacefully, but you know, it's still going strong. So you know, right now I'm mainly the main voice that does the writing, but even with the podcast, it was kind of the same thing, because I didn't want to be like the only voice on the podcast is spitting my opinions nonstop. And I asked other people to join, and you know, we got about 3 or 4 different shows we're running right now. So yeah,
now like we kind of talked a little bit earlier before the show, we was kind of talking about you know, the amount of work that goes into the podcast, man. How are you able to kind of manage not only the Onyx Truth podcast and the website, but also the spinoff shows that you do have going on top of being a married man with 2 kids?
You know, I tell you, it's a lot of work, dude. I'm not even gonna sit here and lie for people who think this is easy. It's really a labor of love, to be honest with you. As far as the writing material goes, I gotta wear all the hats. I gotta be senior editor, and you know, do all this jazz, make sure everybody's using proper punctuation, and so I might spend a few hours just reading over stuff before I publish it, just to make sure it's up to par. Even with the podcast, it might take even longer, because I don't produce all of the podcasts per se. I teach people how to do it. Yeah. And then wherever they are in the world, they record their stuff and they'll send it to me. And then I'll just do like the final touches and upload it to the website, and then, you know, go through the motions of promoting it across social media. And even that can take a few hours at most sometimes, depending upon how big of a file I get and all that jazz. But it's a lot of work behind the scenes that I think a lot of people who are not content creators don't really appreciate. You know, they appreciate the final product, but they don't really get a full grasp of the actual work that goes into creating this stuff that we do, you know?
Oh yeah, it's definitely a labor of love. I've said that quite a few times, man, because like, I remember when I first started telling my people that I wanted to do a podcast, the first thing they asked me was like, yo, so how much you get paid for that? Man. They never really kind of put it together. Like, yo, I do this cause I like doing it. Not so much because I'm looking to make a buck off of it. Now, if I could make a buck off of it, then that's just the icing on the cake. But you know, you do it because you like doing it. If you didn't like doing it, you can always tell the people who really like doing it, because the ones who don't, who aren't really in it because of the love, they don't last long in this game.
They
might go 4 or 5 episodes deep, and then they realize like how much work actually goes into producing the podcast, promoting the podcast, maintaining the podcast, and all the other shit surrounding it. And they be like, you know what, man, this might not be for me, and then they'll walk right away from it. So for those who like really love this thing, you'll be around for a while. It takes work, and once you recognize the work that it takes to put this stuff out, then the audience can tell. You know what I'm saying? Like, the audience can tell. You can look at your numbers and tell whether or not the audience is like, you know what, man, I can appreciate this here, or he didn't put that much work into this and he didn't care, so why should I?
So, now you're exactly right about that, man, because you know, a lot of people who aren't content creators, like I say, all they see is the final product. They don't see all the real work we go into it. And as far as the making money aspect, you know, I wish I was making money like that. You know, I tell people all the time, I'm like, man, I produce so much content, whether written or podcast, And I got so many followers on my fan page, you would think that I'm just rolling in the dough over here, but it's not. I guess the only way that I'm getting paid is through Facebook likes, but, you know, I'm not really that much of a fan of Facebook likes because, you know, they don't really do nothing for the bank account, which is why I got to work a full-time job. But with the labor of love thing, man, you're exactly right. If you don't love to blog, podcast, or do a combination of both, you're going to fade out. Yeah. I think they say the average podcaster, out of all the podcasts that are on iTunes, they say 7 is about when most people tap out.
Yeah.
And if I produced, I'm well above 200 episodes. I know that. I don't know exactly where I'm at yet, but it's a labor of love, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, shit, I'm at 125 episodes. This is the 125th one here. But it's taken me so long to get here because there was a few times where the Spam Report was about to go kaput. You know what I mean? Like, there were times where I took months off. Like, I didn't do a show for, like, 2 or 3 months at a time.
Yeah.
You know, like, the way that I do the show is a whole hell of a lot different than the way that I started out doing this show. This was a comedy podcast where I was trying to make everything fucking funny. And it's not that anymore. And, like, I've been doing this going 6 years now.
Oh, so, wow. You've been doing it for 6 years?
Yeah, 6 years. The Spam Report has been up. Yeah, 6 years. I think I started in 2010. Yeah.
Oh,
so it's been a minute. And, like, for a long time, man, like, I've been in year two and I'm on episode 22 and shit. You know what I mean? So over the last few years, the way that I've, like, kind of changed up how I do things has allowed me to kind of put the show out a bit more consistently where I'm able to kind of really put out a show almost every week. But it's a lot of work, man. And, like, even now, like, I'm coming off a 2-week break. Why? I didn't have shit to say.
that's the thing about podcasting, man. I mean, truth be told, you can take a break if you want because 99.9% of us aren't getting paid to do this. This is just something we do on our personal free time. But if you do decide to do this, it is best to try to stick to a schedule as much as possible so that your fans or your audience can kind of expect it. Like, say, if you drop a podcast every Monday, well, you might skip a Monday here and there, but, you know, if they're looking for you on Monday and they see you drop, then some of them are good to go.
Oh, yeah. Now,
I'm kind of sporadic with my stuff, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, I think my fans or people who come to appreciate my podcast and my website, I think they kind of understand that about me. I'm hoping they understand that about me by now that whenever I produce it, I put it out there and just keep it moving. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, the consistency, I think, is real key. You know, like, and that's, I think my show would be a lot bigger had I been more consistent earlier on. You know, yeah. Like, there was a lot of folks who probably just fell by the wayside when they looking at their podcast app and they see the Spam Report hasn't updated in 2 or 3 months. They're like, oh, well, this nigga don't care no more. and then they go by the wayside. But when I said, like, I didn't have anything to say, it wasn't so much that I didn't have anything to say. It was more so like I wasn't able to pay attention to more than one thing at a time for the last 2 weeks, if that makes any sense. Like, I had other shit going on that were kind of occupying my mind where it wasn't really podcast material. Uh-huh. So it's like, you know what, man? Yeah, I could do a podcast on Colin Kaepernick, but that would be all y'all got. And when you get when I do my show, I tend to speak on quite a few different things, and then I have one thing I really focus on. But some of the ancillary things that go on around life, I couldn't really put them together because it was like so much shit going on in my real life that I was like, you know what, man, I just need to like pump my brakes and then come. Who the hell is this? Okay, pump my brakes.
That was me, man.
Okay, I just need to pump my brakes and get it back to where I got some shit that I actually can talk about rather than just bullshit for the sake of bullshit and putting the show out.
Yeah. I agree with that, man. I always tell people, especially the ones who do little solo shows on my podcast, I'm like, you don't have to drop a podcast every week like clockwork just for the sake of dropping it. I prefer for you to actually have something of substance to talk about. Because even with on the Onyx Truth podcast, I do my little solo show. It was the original show called the Onyx Truth podcast. And when I first started it, I was doing an episode once a week because I felt like I had to.
Yeah.
And then when I started adding other shows like The Honest Truth Live and then The Brown Liquor Experience, which happens to be my favorite show, the one we just completely ratchet on there, I kind of fell back on Onyx Truth Podcast to where I'm actually doing it about maybe once a month, because either I don't really have that much to talk about from my personal perspective that I haven't written about, or I haven't gotten to some massive argument on Facebook about that I don't feel like talking about anymore, or I just ain't got nothing to say, you know what I mean, that I haven't said on another podcast. But for all the people out there who are considering podcasting, I mean, one, it is important to have content, consistent content that people actually want to check for. But just like Span said, don't just fall into the trap of just creating content just for the sake of creating content. Create something that people actually want to hear, that's relevant, that they want to hear your perspective on, and not just some BS, because they'll be able to pick that up, man, and be able to distinguish you from just somebody just doing something just to try to attract listeners versus you doing it because you actually have something genuine to contribute. You know what I mean?
Indeed, man. But before we get too deep off into the show, I done forgot to introduce this motherfucker and like get all of my contact information. So, yeah, man, for those of you who want to get in touch with me here at the Spirit Report Podcast, man, here's what you can do. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. It's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show and respond to you here on the show as well. You can also email me at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails there. I'll read those here and respond to them on the show. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. You can like the Mr. Span fan page to watch these shows live every week. I typically do them every Saturday when I can, right? And for all of your Span Report needs, man, go to www.thespanreport.com. Go there, vote in the polls, leave comments on the post. You can watch the videos associated with this podcast. Everything that you need as far as the Span Report podcast is concerned is available at www.thespanreport.com. And of course, this show is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Last.fm, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, wherever you are on the digital media landscape, your man Span is there. So go there and yeah, get your Span Report podcast fix going on, man. Real talk. But yeah, Gil, go ahead and give some contact information for the folks who want to get in contact with you as well.
My stuff is real simple compared to yours, dude. But I tell everybody, man, go to onyxtruth.com if you really want to contact me from there. All my social media stuff is there. I got a voicemail line, 706-550-1785. And my email is gil@onyxtruth.com. But onyxtruth.com is my world. And from there, you can branch off and follow me and explore everything else from there if you so choose to.
Yeah, man. All right. Now, I got a couple random thoughts, man. Sometimes I do this on the show. I got a couple random thoughts. And one of the things I was thinking about earlier this week, man, I was watching some videos on YouTube around the Colin Kaepernick thing, and I came across this video on what was that? I think it was Stephen A. Smith. They got, you know, First Take, ESPN yeah. show First Take. And one of the things I always wondered, man, is like, how come Stephen A. Smith has to remind all of us who he's friends with and who he knows?
Stephen A. Smith, man, that guy is a special kind of guy, man. And I'm not just talking about his hairline and all that stuff, but I don't know why he feels this obsessive need to remind people who he knows, or to remind people that, particularly black people, about black people's issues, as if we don't know our own issues that are taking place. But with him just reminding people of who he knows, you're talking about as far as what, like his What are their videos? Because I haven't seen
the video. It's not just one particular video. This is a habit of Stephen A. Smith. Anytime they're talking about anybody in the NFL, he's like, well, you know, me and Shaquille O'Neal are really good friends. And, I was talking to my boy, Jim Jones, and we were like he's like that name dropping motherfucker, that annoying name dropping motherfucker at the club. You like, come on, bro, like, you really trying to get on because of who you know? Like, you dropping these names as if this is somehow supposed to impress everybody, and it's like, it's a tick for him, like, it's a nervous tick. He does it all the time, and I'm just like, why does nigga always doing this shit?
I mean, he does it to try to give his whatever he's about to say, try to make it seem more credible than what it is, yeah, by saying, well, this famous person over here agrees with what I say based upon a conversation. So what I'm saying must be true. You know what I mean? It's, you know, a lot of people tend to do that, but that's the only reason why I could think of a person that just wants the name drop is just to try to make it seem like what he's about to say is credible. Yeah. And you should be believing him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's a lot of people that do that, man. I think, and sometimes, like, people can stretch the truth of who they actually know, right? Like, I could have had a conversation with someone of stature. That doesn't mean I know the motherfucker. Like, yeah. I met, what was that, when I was a kid. I was an extra on the movie White Boys, right? Mm-hmm. And there was Slick Rick and Dougie Fresh. Dougie Fresh is a complete bitch. I don't like that nigga whatsoever.
Ow.
After that interaction that I had with him on that movie set. Slick Rick, cool as hell. I can't tell motherfuckers I know them, though, because if they ask you, yo, you know who Mr. Span is? They're going to be like, who the fuck is that? You know what I'm saying? So it's like that whole thing of like name dropping every time you have something to say. It's just a thing. I was just thinking about, why does nigga always do that? I had another one, though. And this is something I think I said on Facebook earlier this week. If you've ever been on an episode of House Hunters, I probably hate your fucking guts.
I love that show, dude. Why? What's wrong with that show? What's wrong with House Hunters, man?
There's nothing wrong with House Hunters. I hate the people on House Hunters. I hate the people that go on House Hunters with these unrealistic expectations of what they're going to get for the money, right? So. Yeah. Like you go on House, there'll be just one example. There'll be a person on the show. They'd be like, you know what? We're going to go to San Francisco. Now, San Francisco has some of the highest fucking real estate prices in the country, if not the highest.
Yep.
Your budget is $235,000 for a home in San Francisco. You want 5 bedrooms, 3.5 baths, granite countertops, stainless steel appliances. You want a master suite with an ensuite bathroom. You want walk-in closets. You want it all on a ranch. And you also want the house to tell a story.
Yeah, a lot of that's probably just for TV show, man, just to make the show suspenseful about, ooh, which house are they going to find? Where is it going to be at? Because in a place like San Francisco, for a $200,000 house with all those amenities you just named, man, you're not going to be living in San Francisco. You're going to be living way the hell out in some country-ass little city or town in California somewhere. That is nowhere near realistic. But if you come down to Georgia, where I live at, well, you can get all of that stuff for about $200,000.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was watching it. Me and my wife, we were watching it, and there was this couple. They were looking for a house in Long Beach. And they had a $400,000 budget, right? And I'm like, man, $400,000, they might get a pretty decent crib. And I'm looking at the house that they ended up buying. Like, that's all y'all got for $400,000? Like, yeah, you know, man, how much fucking house you could have got in Detroit for $400,000? Like, y'all are tripping. Y'all are like, well, we're close to the beach. Like, is the beach really worth that $400,000?
Listen, I used to date this girl, this Mexican girl, a long time ago, before I met my wife. Mm-hmm. And she flew me out to California to meet her family. She flew me to San Francisco, then she drove me down to Los Angeles to her granddad's house. Her granddad stays in San Fernando Valley.
Yeah.
Outside of Los Angeles. I guess that's like where they make a lot of porn and stuff out in that particular area.
Yeah.
But anyways, we go to the house and I'm talking to the granddad and he's like, yeah, you know, my house is worth $1 million and hey, close that door, man. My house is worth $1 million and blah, blah, blah. And I'm looking at the house. I'm like, bruh, what the hell is worth $1 million about this property? Because my parents' house down in Orlando, Florida, is like twice the size of this. And they paid probably a quarter of what you paid for this house right here. But that was like my first real lesson in real estate as far as property values in California just being ridiculously high. And you're basically getting some old little ass condominium type of stuff going on out there, man. It just doesn't make any sense. But yeah, that's crazy right there.
Yeah, man. So those are a couple random thoughts I had, man. I was just like, you know what? I know I'm not the only person who has probably noticed these things, but I kind of throw them out there to see how people are feeling about the shit to make sure my ass ain't going crazy.
That stuff's very real, man. Very real.
But it's been a lot of news going on, man, especially on the tech side. Are you a techie?
You know, I'm techie to a degree because my actual professional background is in tech. I'm an IT professional, okay. But my personal life, I really try to stay away from tech stuff as much as possible. But what's the deal? You about to talk about the iPhone or something like that?
Man, the iPhone, the Note 7, and all of that shit, man. So with that iPhone, man, are you an iPhone or Android guy? Which way you lean?
Man, I've been Team Apple since 2009.
Oh, man, I feel so sorry for you.
I love it, man. I got my iPhone 6 Plus right here. I just got my screen fixed. I'm doing things, man. Yeah, what are you talking about?
I hear you, man. I kind of remember when like iPhone users used to tease Android users for having big phones, and then that big iPhone came out, and they totally forgot about all that slick shit they used to say.
Right. You know, at first, when I first seen the 6 Plus, because I had the iPhone 5 before this, I was like, man, that thing is huge. And then I went ahead and got the 6 Plus, and I was like, I'm trying to figure out how the hell was I getting by with these other iPhones.
Yeah, my wife, she uses the iPhone 6. She was at 6S Plus. Yeah, that's it. 6S Plus or whatever. She uses that. And so I end up like spending money on both of them, whether I like it or not, right? Yeah. But like with that new iPhone, man, what do you like about it? What don't you like about it?
So I was looking at something. I see that they removed the headphone port and substituting that with Bluetooth headphones. I'm not really a fan of that. As far as what else did they, what other changes did they make to it? I think they, I don't know, man, I could actually put up the website, but that was like the only major thing that I actually noticed. Cause what it is when it comes to me with the iPhones, I'm not one of these people who go out and get a new iPhone every time a new iPhone drops. Like, I'll skip about two or three generations before I go get a new iPhone. So I just caught my iPhone 6 Plus about 8 months ago. So I really have like no desire to go get an iPhone 7 just because it's the newest thing. Mm. But I'm definitely not about to go get one just off of those damn missing headphone port. Because I don't know if you saw somebody posting a meme on Facebook. They're showing a little white dude with the headphones hanging out of his ear.
Yeah.
It looked like some damn earrings. I was like, man, I can't be walking around in a gym looking like that. That shit's just a little too... Nah, that ain't my style, man. But I'm trying to figure out what other things that they claim that they changed.
Well, I know they added on the 7 Plus, like they added dual cameras, but you only get that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Model of the phone.
And then they made it water resistant as well.
Yeah, they made it water resistant. They, what else? They changed the home button, so it's not like a real button anymore. It's like a digital type of button where it like vibrates as opposed to clicking. They added a couple colors.
To me, it seems like all of these changes weren't like really necessary. Now, maybe the camera might be actually pretty good because I think they got two actual camera lenses that merge the image to do some old super funky type of stuff with it, because I like photography and all that stuff. I'm real big on whipping up my cell phone to take pictures every chance I get. Mm. But that might be something that would entice me to consider getting the iPhone, the newest one. But all this other stuff, the water resistant stuff, I'm not like really going crazy over that type of stuff. Plus, I don't know, man. Those things just don't seem like enough to make me want to go out there and stand in line just like I say, hey, I got the newest iPhone 7. And, you know, like I said, I'm a fan of Apple. I've been loyal to these clowns since 2009 when my PC caught the blue screen of death and I decided, let me go switch to Apple. And I'm cool. I don't really know what's been popping ever since Steve Jobs died. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like they're losing their vision. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not going to go get this new phone just because it's the newest and greatest thing out there.
Well, see, that was another thing, too, and I forgot to add this to, like, my list of random thoughts, though. But, like, what was that? Tim Cook got up there when they first announced it. He was like, this is the best iPhone we've ever made. He was like, dude, every new iPhone should be the best fucking iPhone you've ever made. What are you talking about? But, you know, not only that, man, like, I know a lot of people are upset about that headphone jack, man. Like, a lot of people are, like, pissed off about that shit. And one of the biggest things about it was they were talking about not being able to listen to their music and charging their phone at the same time.
Yeah.
And, you know, for those who haven't jumped on the Bluetooth bandwagon yet, man, they might be a little bit hate. What I think Apple is really trying to do is to hasten that to, you know, bring that forward, right? Because they bought Beats, right? They got a lot of Beats headphones that they need to sell. They also sell wireless Beats headphones. I think that's what they're really trying to do, is to get people to kind of nudge folks that way, to where they'll buy these wireless Beats headphones. Now, all of these are luxury products. Yeah. But when you buy a $700 phone, and then now in order to listen to your music, you have to also go ahead and buy another $200 pair of headphones, that might not have been, that wasn't the cost you had to think about before. So I think they may have caused themselves to not sell as many phones as they were before, but they're going to still sell a shit ton of iPhones.
They're going to sell, dude. It's going to be a little bit of resistance, but you're going to see people walking around with these ugly earbuds. I'm looking at them right now. They cost $159. Now, I figure, how come they didn't change the design? Like, why do they have to literally, I mean, they literally look like they just cut the wires off the earbuds, and that's now you exactly just got earbuds, the long stem of the earbud hanging out your ear.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have came up, as much creativity as those people got, and as much money in the bank as they got, you mean to tell me that's the best design you could have came up with? I mean, you could have made these things look like some type of hearing aid, you know what I mean, that goes in people's ears that you don't really notice or something like that. Yeah. But people are going to, they're going to adjust and adapt to it, because when they change the actual charging port to that, what do they call it, the lightning port or something like that?
Yeah.
There was a big fuss about that, about people saying, oh, man, now I got to go out there and spend another $30 on the charging port. Well, eventually everybody who likes Apple products, they went ahead and coughed that damn money up, man.
What was it? I had a radio. Like, I very seldom even use, well, I don't use it at all now. I really should just get fucking rid of it. But I had like a little stereo system that had the dock. It had the iPod dock on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they changed that the wide dock to the lightning port,
yeah,
I couldn't use, like, the only way I could continue, like, if I wanted to upgrade, say if I had like an iPod, my iPod Touch, because I used to have an iPod Touch. I said, well, damn, if I wanted to, like, go ahead and upgrade my iPod, I need to get rid of this radio now, too, because I'm not going to be able to plug this motherfucker into the thing.
Well, that's not necessarily true, because what would have happened, you would have had to go spend $30 for the adapter piece, because in my car, I had the old iPhone port that mm-hmm. you plug your phone into.
Yeah.
And then I think the following year is when they switched, they changed the port on the iPhone, so... Yeah. I had to go cough up $30 twice because I lost it one time just so I can play my doggone music in the car.
Yeah.
$30 for that one little... I'm talking about, dude, the thing is really tiny, but it costs $30 for that piece, man.
Oh, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. Like, real talk. That's the bottom line, whether people want to acknowledge it or not. It's all about the money, man.
Yeah, because what it is, once you get... Once they get you in with the phone or the MacBook, you become addicted to their products, to where you're like, they trap you into their ecosystem, man.
Yeah, and it works both ways. Like, I've seen people talk about how if you wanted to leave Apple to go to Android, then, you know, all my stuff won't transfer over. Like, if I wanted to buy an iPhone right now, all of the apps that I've accumulated and paid for over the... What? How long has Android been a thing? Because I had the very first, and I had the G1. So, like, I've been on Android since the shit started. All of those apps that I've bought, I would have to buy them again if I was to switch over to go to an iPhone.
I'm not
interested in doing that. And Apple ain't giving you shit for free, goddammit. Like, they're not gonna, like, hey, for switching over to iPhone, we're gonna give you all these apps that you bought on Google Plus or Google Play. We're gonna give you all that shit for free. Like, nah, that ain't happening.
I mean, you would think it, because if you got an app that can run on both platforms, I don't see why you would have to pay for it. But I think also being trapped in that ecosystem of apps, that's what keeps people pro Android or pro Apple, man. Because I got kind of the same fear. I'm like, because I've thought about switching to a Galaxy quite a few times, but I'm like, I'm just like you. I don't want to have to pay for all this crap all over again.
Yeah, man. You're gonna have to buy that shit twice. And if you've been there for a long time, you got a whole heap of shit that you probably bought. You probably got apps that you done paid for and ain't used ever again. But shit, if you so happen to want to, like, stumble across it again, be like, oh shit, I remember this. And just for nostalgic sake, you're like, nah, dog, you wanted to pay $3. Like,
yeah.
And the funny thing is,
I think that's
man,
what keeps the separation.
The funny thing is, man, when people talk about their phones, man, like I said this last week, I'm like, you know what, man, it's a whole bunch of people who will drop $850 on this phone, but ask their ass to pay for an app, and they're going to look at you like you crazy. Like, nigga, wait. You mean, wait, I got to pay $2 for that? Nigga, they got the free one. Like, dude, they got ads all over it, and you don't get all the features. Now, it do what I needed to do, though.
Now, you know, I ain't gonna lie. I'm one of them people, dude. I'm not gonna front because I like words with friends. It took me about 2 years before I decided to cough up 99 cents to pay for words with friends, man. But I don't know. I guess
as
I don't know,
a
man.
Content creator, man, I think I'm more understanding of, like, you know what, man, these people aren't asking for a whole hell $2 or $3. I could trick that off on like one beer. You know what I mean? So, like, I can sacrifice one beer if I'm going to use this app for the next 2 years or so. Like, I think people just have to, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily say people, but I'm just saying, like, I'm of the mindset of supporting those who bring forth things that are going to make my life easier. So, if they, like, I'm producing content, and people who are producing content, they want to get paid for their work. Same thing with those app developers, man. They want to get paid for their work, man. That's why they got those crappy ass ads on a lot of those apps, because y'all won't pay for them. So, like, hey, somebody got to. So.
Yeah, I've slowly grown into the process of paying for stuff that I predict myself using for long time value. Yeah. I mean, long time purposes, but just little random stuff here and there that I download today and delete tomorrow. I'll just stick with the free thing, man.
I hear you. Now, what you think about that Note 7 recall, man?
They recalled it because, what was it, like catching fire or something like that?
Yeah, some of them, like, I think they said it was 35 instances of the phone where the batteries malfunctioned and caused a fire.
Yeah, they need to recall it. I mean, if you got phones catching fire and blowing up in people's hands, then that's not a good look for your company, especially if you're trying to stay ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. In terms of what Apple has produced, because, you know, Apple, they seem to be like 5 years behind everything Samsung
folks,
is doing.
I keep telling folks that shit, man. Niggas don't want to hear it.
Now, you know, I know, because my brother, my youngest brother, he's heavy into that Samsung Galaxy, but he keeps telling me, man, you need to switch the phones. But I'm like, I'm stuck in Apple, dude. I'm like, I've grown comfortable in my Apple little world, that even though I know Samsung has the latest and greatest, you know, especially what was that one commercial they was advertising where you look at the screen and you move your eyes, the movie stops, you look back at it. And I was like, man, that's pretty damn dope. I don't know how well that technology actually worked, but I thought it was pretty fly. But if your stuff is catching fire, yeah, you got to recall that stuff, dude, because don't nobody want to be holding their phone and next thing you know, their phone is blowing up on them.
Oh, yeah. Like, and I got the Note 7, right?
Yeah.
And like I got an email from Samsung telling me to stop using the phone. Like, I just got that email this morning.
Wow.
And so, like, I'm like, okay, so in the meantime, what am I supposed to do? Right? So, I went up to T-Mobile because I got the phone through them. So I'm like, you know, what are we doing? What are y'all doing as far as this recall is concerned? I had already did the, like, I got an email prior to that that was saying, like, yo, when new phones become available, we can notify you and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, cool. But I still wanted to know, like, okay, so if I turn this phone in, they want me to stop using it. What do I get in the meantime? And they were like, nothing, nigga. You could either just, straight up. It was basically, that's what it was. It was like, you get another phone and that's it. Like, you can trade your phone in and you can get another kind of phone. But I don't want another kind of phone. I want the shit I got, right? And so I'm like, well, I'm one of those people, they like, yo, why you still got, you know, people that are still using those Note 7s after the recall? It's like, yo, I like my phone. My phone has been working for the last 3 weeks since I've had it. I haven't had any issues with it. The chances of my phone catching fire aren't really that great, but I'm still going to participate in this recall. But I'm like, I don't want to be stuck without a phone. And that's the conundrum. Like, it depends on which carrier you're on. Like, so if you're with Sprint, I think Sprint were giving folks, like, they were giving them loaner phones to use until their Note 7s became available, or allowing you to, exchange the phone for something else. T-Mobile, the only thing T-Mobile is doing is allowing you to change the phone for something else. I don't know exactly what AT&T and Verizon are doing,
But I'm walking around with a Note 7 that they keep telling me to stop using, but I'm like, nah, I'll chance it.
Might as well, they should just hand you guys loaner, what were those little skinny phones, the little Razor phones from back in the day? They should just give y'all a bunch of those.
My wife was saying, she like, I don't want to hear shit if you got to walk around with that damn flip phone you got from work.
I can get you, matter of fact, cause I keep all my old phones, man. You can get you one of these, the Palm Trio.
Nah, man, I'm good.
I don't know, man. That's one thing we don't have issues with over here on Team Apple is these damn batteries blowing up now. Eventually your battery will tap out.
That's bullshit, bro.
What?
I could pull up 4 or 5 stories right off the bat of Apple phones blowing up because of their battery.
I ain't never heard of it. Now, I have heard of the batteries like tapping out because this is the only reason why I switched to the 6 Plus because my iPhone 5, it wouldn't hold a charge. And I only had that phone for like a year and some change, but... I ain't never heard of a battery blowing up.
Just off the top of my head, I could think there was a story about a 12-year-old girl who was walking to school with her iPhone 5C in her pocket. That fucker blew up on her. There was another guy who said his shit was it blew up while he was at home in bed and he was charging his phone. There was another guy who was riding his bike and his shit burnt him up while he was riding the bike. It was like
out of all the iPhones sold across the globe, we're talking about like what, a few cases here? You know what I mean? But so even, maybe it was bad phone that was put together at the factory.
Out of all the Note 7s, because they sold all 3 million of them already. So out of all the Note 7s, only a few of them have caught fire.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying? So, like, you know, like, I get it. It's news because, like, the Note 7 just came out and, like, it's right after its launch and stuff like that. I just thought it was funny because, like, what was it? I was watching CNN. Like, everybody who was talking about the Note 7 and when it was catching fire and stuff, it was like every news story also added, like, well, this couldn't come at a worse time for Samsung as Apple is set to release the new iPhone 7 this Thursday. Like, come on, bro. Like, y'all really gonna use this shit as a commercial right now? Like, you can't tell me they ain't paying you motherfuckers.
Yeah, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, man. But, outside of that, man, we got some political shit to talk about, man. Colin Kaepernick, I know you've spoken about it. I know everybody and their mama has pretty much talked about it. The interesting thing about it to me, man, is how folks tried to hijack what he was doing and make it about something else. Tommy Lauren is one of those people who does this pretty regularly, trying to, you know, deflect from what the issue really is. Everybody started talking about how it was disrespectful to veterans and everything else. Man, you're a vet, right?
Yeah, 13 years.
Yeah. So, like, how did you feel about Colin Kaepernick's, you know, demonstration at the football game?
I totally supported him. That doesn't mean that I personally will be sitting down because, you know, but I supported his decision to sit down now. I guess he's kneeling now. Yeah. Because I tell people all the time, because, you know, one of the things I hate with the media, everybody that's listening, I served 13 years on active duty in the U.S. Army. As a matter of fact, I got out back in November of last year. And one of the things I used to hate was how the media would get on there and be like, oh, this is so disrespectful to the vets. And they would just be speaking as if all military veterans are just one monolith and we all think alike. I'm like, listen, chick, I was black before I joined the military. I was black while I was in the military, and I was black after I got out of the military. So I understand what it's like to be a black man in America who's dealt with his fair share of racism, discrimination, and things of that nature. So I'm not offended by it because I understand exactly why he's doing it. Now, Colin Kaepernick, in his personal life, he may or may not have experienced racism or police brutality, but he's speaking up for the countless millions of other black people that, one, don't have this type of money, and then, two, they do experience this type of stuff damn near every day of their life in some shape or form, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't understand this, oh, he's disrespecting the vets. Like, stop talking for the vets, because we, quote-unquote, fight for people's freedoms to choose to feel how they want to feel about this country, protest how they want to protest about this country, as long as their protest doesn't infringe upon somebody else's rights or freedoms or their safety. You know what I'm saying? And all the man did was literally sit down, dude.
Yeah.
It's like, they got a problem when the, when people hit the streets and be protesting. Oh, Black Lives Matter are a bunch of thugs and criminals. Okay, well, the man literally just sat down and be quiet, and everybody thought treating this like World War III just kicked off. Mm-hmm. So what do y'all want? So,
well, one of the things I thought was real interesting was how people were talking about, you know, well, although I understand why he did what he did, I don't like the way he did it. There was a better way to do it, without actually telling him what better way would have been, what better way there was for him to do what he did, right? And it reminds me of, not even so much reminds me, but it kind of makes me think back to, like, no matter what he did, no form of protest would have been appropriate for those who are comfortable with the status quo.
Yep.
So, like, no matter what he did, whether if he'd have just put his fist in the air while the national anthem played, if he would have turned his back while the national anthem played, if he would have went to the locker room while the national anthem played, like, there would have been people would have still been up in their shit, still pissed off about why isn't he doing what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, because old girl at the Olympics, Gabby, what's her name? Gabby Douglas, I think. Yeah. Is that her name? She didn't put her hand over her heart, and they were flipping out over her.
Yeah.
But remember Donald Trump when he was on the Republican stage during one of those debates?
Yeah.
He didn't do the same damn thing, and I don't recall nobody showing outrage over that. You know.
Think about when Barack Obama was first running for president, and how much of a stink folks made about him not wearing a flag lapel pin.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of these people, it's just a whole bunch of fake outrage, man, because the whole point is they just want Black people to basically take your suffering in silence. Don't complain about it. Don't say nothing about it. Just sit there and pretend like everything's all hunky-dory, because they'll always point and say, oh, Colin Kaepernick is rich, or my favorite one, we've had a Black president for 8 years. There must be, everything is good between the races in America, as if President Obama has magically erased all racism that the rest of us Negroes who aren't as famous or don't have as money may have to deal with. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
they just want Black people just to shut up, man. And that's it. That's all they want us to do.
That's it. They're just like, hey, man, shut the fuck up. Why you got to talk? Why you got to remind us of all this old shit?
Yeah, and then they'll be like, oh, why don't you just leave the country if you don't like it? Why? Why do I have to leave the country? I'm not fucking going nowhere.
I was born here. My people helped build this motherfucker. Why I got to leave? You know, the arguments that I made around this was just, like, utterly ridiculous. And I was sitting back and I was just watching the entire thing unfold. Like, I'm watching people talk about how much this is a disrespect to veterans when it had absolutely nothing to do with veterans. You know, it's like when you talk about Black Lives Matter and then the white folks come up with, well, what about black on black crime? It's like you're totally deflecting from the fucking issue to keep from having to talk about it. And it was obvious, man. Like, it was just funny to me to kind of, like, watch them trip over themselves. Like, even, who was that? Jason Whitlock's punk ass. Like, him and Ray Lewis got on, I think it was Fox Sports 1 or something. And both of them, you know, like, Jason Whitlock has always been kind of a different kind of nigga, so to speak. But, like, Ray Lewis gets on there and tries to, like, measure his level of involvement in the community to Colin Kaepernick's as if this is a fucking competition. It's like, dude, he's bringing attention to an issue that a lot of people have issues with. There's nothing wrong in what he's doing. There's nothing wrong in what you're doing. You don't have to compete with one another on this issue. You don't. So many people get that shit fucked up.
It's you know, when it comes to these people, white folks and the coons out there, it's like, I understand, okay, Black people can have a legit concern about, quote, black on black crime. You know, there's nothing wrong with talking about that if you want to talk about that. But this obsessive need to bring it up in order to distract from another issue is where I just lose my damn mind sometimes, man. I don't understand. The man is talking about police brutality and people and systemic racism, but you want to talk about some black on black crime, nigga? Like, why can't we talk about the damn issue at hand? Work that out, figure out what we can do about this, and then if we can go back and revisit so-called black-on-black crime, if it's really that damn big of a deal to you. But if you want to talk about that, then let's talk about all interracial crime, like white on white, green on green, and all that crap. But it drives me crazy, man. And it's just really just another tactic just to get black people to shut up about all the things that the dominant society does to our people. That's all it is. They don't want you talking about it.
That's it. It's like I was thinking about was it the Santa Clara Police Union sent out a letter asking for an apology for what Colin Kaepernick said.
Oh yeah, that's
all. And right. One of the things that made me think, I was like, you know, one, when did the police become such a sensitive bunch to where they needed an apology for, you know, the things that he said? I'm like, well, and this goes back to one of the things I say all the time: if it don't apply, let it fly, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, if you aren't the cop who's out here killing niggas, beating niggas, doing shit the wrong way, you understand, you know exactly who he's talking about. You know he ain't talking about you. Now, for you to come out, for the entire organization to come out and start asking for an apology, it's like, come on, bro. Like, you know who we talking about. Like, and that's the thing, man. Like, they made it such a big thing that we're like, you know what? Well, we're going to stop doing our job. We ain't going to start. We going to stop securing their games. Like, all right, cool. Let somebody else get paid to do it since y'all don't want to do y'all fucking
now, job. Did they send an apology out for all them cops that were sending racist text messages between one not. Another out there?
Of course not.
Oh, okay. See, they want us to apologize for calling out their bullshit, but when their bullshit is exposed, they go dead silent and hide behind the little blue wall of silence. You know what I mean?
Indeed. Indeed, man. So that entire Colin Kaepernick thing, man, it's kind of grown. I've seen other players do it. What was that? Marshall? I forget the guy's first name for the Denver Broncos. He participated. Yeah. He did a demonstration. There was another player. He was a rookie player from, was it the Baltimore? Or not the Orioles. The Ravens, who also said he would do it. The Seattle Seahawks as a team is saying that they may do something.
I saw a high school football player doing it.
High school football player did it. A soccer player. She's done it, and she straight up said it's like it was a nod to Kaepernick. And then she also talked about how, as a gay American, how, you know, she recognized that all of her liberties haven't always been recognized here in America. High schools are doing it now, man. Like, it's becoming a thing where, like, people are, like, you know, making it known that there are issues in this country that doesn't necessarily that aren't exactly rosy for everybody who aren't a part of the mainstream. Uh-huh. And it's interesting to see, like, this country kind of contort itself, or those who are comfortable with this country contort themselves to explain away all of these feelings that these people are having as if these things never existed.
Dude, Colin Kaepernick has put white supremacy on trial, man. That's what he's done. And people are, unfortunately, it took a rich dude of his stature to make such a, I guess you could say, bold statement. To me, it really wasn't that bold.
Yeah.
But in the eyes of white America, was that bold. But because he's speaking up for a lot of people, not just black people. His sentiments are felt across all gender lines and racial lines and things of that nature. But he's basically decided, hey, I'm challenging white supremacy. I got enough money in my bank account to where I don't have to worry about you motherfuckers anymore. And that's what he's doing, dude. I personally feel we need more rich people like him to step up and make these types of protests. Because I was telling somebody the other night, matter of fact, I think it was last night, I was like, it seems like the people who protest and demonstrate and speak out against racism and white supremacy the loudest are the brokest people in the country. Like, you take your minimum wage worker working at some fast food joint who has his job could be gone tomorrow. He can be loses a house or apartment, whatever the case may be. But yet that person will be the loudest person on the block out there at the protest, all over social media, talking about we need to eradicate racism, white supremacy. And he got no money to fall back on. But some of these rich Negroes like Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley and all them, they know what's going on, but they don't use their platform to reach millions of people to be like, yo, this is really what's going on out in these streets. You know, just because I'm all right, that doesn't mean that everybody else is all right. You know what I mean? So I always found that dynamic amazing, that seems like the less money you have in your account, the louder you are to protest the system, you know? Yeah. And I don't understand why a lot of these rich Negroes don't get with the damn program, man. What do you got to lose? Say if you get fired from your team, you still got money in the bank. You know what I mean? I don't get it, man.
Well, say for instance with Shaquille O'Neal, man. I know folks were a little surprised that he said that he wouldn't have done what Colin Kaepernick did. But then I think about the fact that like Shaq's stepfather was like he was a military man.
Yep.
And like Shaq was an army brat. They moved around a lot.
Yep.
And you know, like even now, like in Shaq's off time, Shaq was like a reserve police officer. Like you look at how Shaq has lived his life and how, you know, how he was raised, and you can't really necessarily be surprised that he would have a different view on it than Colin Kaepernick did. Now, it's not to say that he can't educate himself on some of these issues. And matter of fact, it may not necessarily mean that he doesn't support, you know, the overall movement, so to speak, as far as the liberation of black people, but he may not have necessarily agreed with that tactic, the way a whole lot of other folks, you know, get on to their thing. Like, I don't agree with that tactic, but I get what he's doing. You know what I mean? Charles Barkley, though, like, for me, like, I just kind of feel like Charles Barkley is sort of like a lost cause. because Charles Barkley isn't really open to hearing any other, you know, frame of thought. You know what I mean? Like, Charles Barkley, like, this is my opinion. I'm going to keep rolling with my opinion, and fuck who don't like it, and I'm out. And they gave Charles Barkley a fucking TV show.
Yeah, that's become his bread and butter. He can't turn back now, man.
Yeah, so like they've given him a fucking TV show, and it's like out of all the people to give a TV show to talk about an issue as complex and as sensitive as this one is, you give it to that guy? Like, okay.
Yeah, he's been on his wagging his finger at black people thing since forever now. You know what I mean? So he can't change it, and now it's starting to pay off to where he got his own TV show, and he'll think he'll be the official representative of black people.
But you know what? You know what's interesting about that whole wagging the finger at black folks?
Yeah.
Bill Cosby towards the end, like, you know, what was it, like the last 10, 15 years?
Yeah.
Had made like that was his thing, man, like telling black folks how to live. Telling black folks how, you know, he don't see white folks acting like this. And, like, he's real deep in the respectability politics of telling black folks how to act to get the respect of white folks. And then, earlier this week, you get news that Bill Cosby is saying that the reason he's going through the shit that he's going through right now is because of racism. And he used to be like, nigga, you just spent the last 15 years telling us that shit ain't an issue.
But that's how they all do, man. Because, I mean, we can go back to O.J. Simpson with that. You know, O.J. Simpson was running around here talking about he ain't black, he's O.J. Then after his acquittal, and then he found out white society basically kicked him out of white society for the most part. What does he do? He runs down to Miami. He's over there walking around with gold, silver chains, trying to be this thug Negro in his freaking 40s and 50s, basically trying to, I guess, call himself win the graces of black society, try to get them back on his side or something like that. And Bill Cosby the same way, because I remember that. Oh, you need to pull your pants up. But the whole time he was trying to pull women's pants down, allegedly. You know what I mean? You know, like
the difference with OJ, man, is like OJ was just like out for himself. OJ wasn't out here preaching to other black folks about how they supposed to be. And then doing something entirely different. OJ was like, look, this is how I'm living. You know, like, this is how I get down. Like, whether y'all get with it, y'all can either get with it or get the fuck on. This is how I get down. Bill Cosby out here like, yo, I'm great, and I'm in these white spaces. And if y'all want to be great like me in these white spaces, then y'all need to do this, 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 and this. And it's like, okay, but what if we don't want to be great in those spaces? What if we just want to be who the fuck we are? And then when you get caught up in some shit, all that stuff you told us before, now all of a sudden it doesn't mean a damn thing because you in trouble? Fuck out of here, man. Get your hypocritical ass out of here. So, you know, yeah, I thought that was interesting, man. It was, I meant to talk about that earlier, and then it just like kind of slipped my mind. And then you said something about, you know, shit, Charles Barkley. And it was like, dang, ding, 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 ding. Bill Cosby on some shit.
Yeah. It'll be happening to Barkley too. You know, I call it the Negro wake up call, man. The nigga wake up call.
I don't know, because Charles Barkley should have got his wake up call when he threw that motherfucker out that plate glass window back in the day. But
yeah,
I don't know.
I think it'll come in due time in some form. Because I know Stephen A. Smith had got his when they suspended him off the air over remember he got suspended like a year or so ago over
That was when he was talking about women provoking the violence against them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he got his a little bit, and he came back and kind of changed his attitude a little bit, and kind of been going hardcore on black society ever since. But Barkley will be getting his in due time. It'll come in some shape or form. I don't know.
Yeah, man. But God damn it, these segues. Because you just mentioned, the reason why Stephen A. got suspended, and we're going to talk about, some of the disconnect. In the communication between men and women, especially black men and women, when we converse with one another and we talk about each other's issues on social media.
Yeah.
And like you wrote an article on the Onyx Truth called Black Women Hate Shit.
Oh, yeah, I did.
What was the impetus for for that article, bro? All
right. So let me just clear this up. Do I think black women ain't shit? No. The reason why I wrote this article titled Black Women Ain't Shit is because for the last 2 to 3 weeks, I've seen countless status updates, articles, just really going hard in the paint on black men. Just black men ain't shit. Mm-hmm. If you support Nate Parker's movie, you're a rape apologist. Black men ain't shit. I'm just like, God damn. I'm like, what is really going on here? And so I kind of got annoyed with the whole black men ain't shit saying, hey, it's not all black men. And yes, I understand what you and other people were saying in regards to, well, if you know it ain't you, then, just let it ride. I get that because normally that's what I do. I'm like, I know you motherfuckers ain't talking about me, but fuck it. But it just seems like it was just turned up to the max in the past 2 to 3 weeks to where I was like, okay, now I'm starting to get annoyed with this shit because every time I log on Facebook, I see somebody just going clean the fuck off on black men. And I'm like, you know what? Let's figure out who these dudes are that you're talking about. So maybe that I can go lay some smack down on them too. You know what I mean? Instead of just black men ain't shit. Black men ain't shit. Like, who are these niggas you're talking about? So that's kind of why I wrote that. It was just out of pure, basically, I was just kind of annoyed with this thing for the past 2 to 3 weeks. But like I say, normally I wouldn't pay that crap any attention because I know they're not talking about me. But I don't know, man. I got kind of annoyed with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And like I remember we was in the thread. I forget what group is that.
I don't know. I would say them, but I got kicked out of the group. So hell with that group.
Oh, I know you got kicked out. I think you brought me into that group. But yeah. Like there was that conversation about the way in which. Like you're talking about the black men ain't shit and stuff like that. And I did come in there and I said, well, like, when I hear a sister say stuff like that, I don't really take it personal because to me, I'm like, well, she's obviously something has happened to make her feel that way. It's not coming from an imaginary place. She's not imagining things. Yeah. Something has happened. Probably a series of things have happened to where it brought her to a point where this is what she's saying. Now, when it comes to social media, I think a lot of times what we tend to do is we talk a lot in shorthand on social media.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so, I remember I was talking about, the Kaepernick thing on Twitter. Now, you only got like 140 characters on Twitter. Sometimes it's about expeditiousness as opposed to being thorough, right. And having to spell it out for everybody. But I remember I said on Twitter, I said, it's a lot of like white folks hate to be reminded of how good they got it. Hence the Kaepernick response. Right.
Yeah.
And most everybody who read that tweet got it. There was this one dude, though. Well, you shouldn't just say all white people. I said, well, I didn't say all white people. You kind of interjected all into that particular thing. I didn't say all white people. I said white people. Well, what about me? I'm like, okay, so now this is about you. And so, like, basically what ends up happening is, as opposed to just taking what I said and instead of adding things to it so that you can argue with me over it, you basically wanted to make this about you so that I can absolve you and say, well, you know what, man, you cool, don't worry about it, we all friends. Like, no, you knew what I was talking about. And I think a lot of times, with dudes, man, we know who they talking about.
Yeah, we do.
We know the niggas they talking about. So when I see women, you know, say like black men do this or black men do that, I'm like, okay, because I've seen some of the shit that they talking about myself. So if I've seen it, I know who they talking about, and I know they're not talking about me. Sometimes they may be talking about me, though. There have been times where it was some shit that I did where I'm like, damn, that totally was some shit I did. And my wife may even remind me of some shit like, yo, you know, sometimes, babe, like, when I'm talking to you, like, you'll pick up your phone. And I'm like, damn, I do that. And like, to her, it's like a dismissal of, okay, if she's speaking to me and I pick up my phone, I'm totally not interested in what she's saying. And I could be all in what she's saying. I could be listening to what she's saying and thinking I'm multitasking, but she's not listening. She's not feeling that way. She's like, damn, nigga, you're not trying to hear what the fuck I'm talking about?
Well,
so I think there's that disconnect that tends to happen when we get caught up in the minutia of the conversation.
Now, I agree with you. And I wholeheartedly agree that for a black woman, or any woman in particular, but particularly black women, for her to just come on social media and say, niggas ain't shit, there is a nigga out there somewhere in the world that did her wrong, or maybe a group of dudes, or whatever the case may be. And we do know that these, I like to call them dusty, you like to call them ashy, we know these niggas exist out there in the world. But the reason why it bothered me is because a few women made it a point to call me sexist and misogynist because I was disagreeing with something they said. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, how all of a sudden did I become the sexist, or I became the misogynist because you said something? I didn't necessarily agree with your standpoint. That doesn't mean that I wasn't listening. That just means I didn't agree with it, but now all of a sudden you're quick to point the finger at me and call me all these names, and now I'm being lumped into the ain't shit nigga category over a disagreement over on Facebook. So that's kind of why all that, I don't know if you can hear my son crying in the background, right. I apologize, that's but right. That's why all this stuff kind of started, man, and which led me to writing that article about black women ain't shit. And I encourage people to read it before judging it based off the title.
Yeah.
But I do believe that women have legit concerns out there about black men and black society that are rightfully so, and they do need to be heard. And I do believe that there is a collective of black men out there who are actively engaged in the shit that women take severe problems with, issues yeah. with, you know, everything ranging from abuse to thinking that women are second class citizens. You know, I like to call them the dusty hotep niggas who subscribe to that philosophy. And then, you know, all the other stuff in between. But then there's also a section of some black women, I'm not saying all, but some, that from what I've gathered, social media, it makes it real hard to let everybody know exactly how you feel, because you're just reading words. Unless you're typing emojis after everything you say with smiley faces, it kind of comes across a little hard. Because I've had people tell me, I thought you were just a complete jackass off of things I've seen you write on social media until I got to know you a little bit better. I'm like, yeah, because I don't necessarily write stuff to attract likes and all this. I just kind of state how I feel at that present moment in time based off of whatever information I may have. You understand what I'm saying? But this is why I like podcasting so much, because you can hear it in somebody's voice as to whether or not they're sincere or not, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But nobody's, I'm not one of these black men that goes out there and discounts the words of black women. I don't go around bashing black women like the dude on YouTube whose initials Tommy Sotomayor. I'm not on that shit. I will criticize a black woman if I feel that something needs to be criticized, just like I criticize white people and I criticize black men as well. But, you know, the thing is, nobody's saying that black women don't have the right to be heard or they don't have legit issues. It's just that I sense, just due to things that have happened to me in the past 2 weeks, of fingers being pointed at me, calling me sexist and misogynist because I don't necessarily agree with everything that's being said, That's where I start to have the problem. That's where I start getting into my quote feels a little bit as to about this whole black man ain't shit thing. Because like I said earlier, if a black woman said black man ain't shit, 9 times out of 10, I wouldn't give a damn because I know she wasn't talking about my ass because I know what I do in real life. But I've had, just in the past week, I've had a white woman write a blog article about me calling me a sexist and a misogynist because she's not affiliated with my website anymore. Mm-hmm. I've had some black dudes call me the same thing because they feel that just because I don't totally support the opinion of every black woman I come across on social media that I must hate black women or some shit like that. So it kind of got to that point where I was like, on some old fuck all y'all, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So let me use my platform to say my piece that everybody just labeling me what they think based off of words they read on Facebook. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, well, you know, like I've known you for about a year now. Yeah. And we've been friends on Facebook and stuff like that. So I see some of the stuff that you say. I don't necessarily agree with all of it. Do you think that a lot of it isn't so much about just that particular thing though, like that particular conversation, like maybe they came to these conclusions based on like a collective of shit that is kind of added up for them to make them think that, you know, maybe this dude ain't, you know, like, do you think it could have been that?
Well, I ask people, well, go back and find all this crazy stuff that you believe paints this picture of me. Because I tell people, I'm like, you can go listen to all my podcasts, read everything I've written on Onyx Truth, and you're not going to see me bashing black women like I'm like on some old black women are bitches, black women are this, black women. I don't do that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And this kind of really revved up in regards to old girl getting killed out in Baltimore by the name of Corin Gaines.
Okay.
You know, this is like when this stuff really started picking up, when people started thinking I hate black women. Mm-hmm. Because me personally, I stated I wouldn't support her because I did not agree with her decision to allow her 5-year-old son to stay in that apartment, which he ended up getting shot mm-hmm. when he had multiple opportunities to get out of the apartment safely. Now, that's not me saying that I'm totally disregarding whether or not the police were right in what they did and ultimately killing her. It's just me as a parent of 2 young kids, I couldn't get that thing out of my mind. You understand? Mm-hmm. To where I could not imagine having my children in danger when they didn't have to be there. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that I'm totally just overlooking everything else. But that was just at the forefront of my attention. And so some people were like, oh, he must hate black women. Oh, then they come to find out I'm married to a black woman for 10 years. Oh, just because you're married to one, that doesn't mean you like black women. I'm like, get the hell out of here. Like, the thing is, I might have a problem with one particular black woman based off of something she may have done. That doesn't mean that I hate all black women. Right. And I don't understand how people come to these conclusions, man. But even with stuff I've said in the past on social media or the website or the podcast or whatever, you will never find me on some old I hate black women type of stuff. I'm trashing black women. I'll criticize one if I feel that there's a legit criticism to be made.
Yeah.
But don't turn that into I hate black women, because there, you know, there's some dudes out there. I came up with the nickname the Moisture Mafia that I see some people are starting to run with. I need to give me my proper credit for it. But anyways, I call them the Moisture Mafia because all they do is go online all day. And it appears that they co-sign any and everything black women say, period. Doesn't matter what it is, how legit it is. And you know, if that's your thing, do your thing. Mm. But I'm not one of these people that co-sign stuff just because I want to get along with people on social media or craft this persona online to be something that I'm not. It's like if I have an issue, because you like, just like you said you don't agree with stuff I say. Shit, there are times I listen to your podcast like, this nigga's crazy as hell. What is he talking about? You know what I mean? But
a lot of niggas listen to this show be like, man, Span is tripping.
But I still come back and listen because I enjoy it. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to be like, man, Span, he said this. Oh, that nigga's a coon. Or he's, I ain't never on that. It's like, yo, you have a difference of opinion based upon whatever reasons you've come to that conclusion. And I have, and it's the same with me on my end. But that doesn't mean that I'm just going to automatically assume that you are just an ain't shit nigga or some dude that hates black women or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But it seems like I said, when it comes back to Corin Gaines and my disapproval of her decision to allow her son to stay in there and get shot. That, to me, is the issue that I couldn't get out of my mind. Now I've kind of passed it now, but at the present time when it was hot, I was like, God, I can't believe this woman did that. All of a sudden, everybody was like, oh, you hate black women. I'm like, wait a second. No, I just have a problem with her. I don't hate black women. I just got a problem with her. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yeah, that's kind of how that went down. And I think why people think certain things about me, which has led to all this crap that's happened in the past couple of weeks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I know we were in that, while we were in that group, though, there was an exchange. It was a couple white dudes in there who were talking about the irony. Yeah. Of the conversation.
Oh yeah.
And I agree with those cats for the most part. Like I could definitely see the irony. When we talk about like when black folks bring forth grievances to white folks, and then when white folks are very dismissive of them and they start flipping it around and telling us you know, how we could have done things to make things better and making it something that we need to fix when we aren't really in the power position to fix it. We're bringing this to them because this is an issue that they also have a part in fixing as well. So when women come forward to men and say, well, these are issues that you guys have with us and we want you to address it. And then we go back and say, well, it ain't all of us. You know, so why are you bringing this to me? Like, I saw the irony thick as hell in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, I agree with that, with what you just said and what they were saying about the irony aspect. But and a couple other guys on that thread, I noticed that they were going back and forth with them about that. But you know, the problem I had with those two white dudes that I really didn't state, but it would have led to about another 1,000 comments on that thread. I totally didn't like the fact that they started to paint a picture that black men are violent and abusive to black women, because one of them mentioned something about, is this what black male culture is about? And from there, I was like, wait, that's where my problem came in with these two white dudes. It wasn't with them saying that black men are treating black women the same way white men treat black people in terms of not listening to their perspectives or giving people respect. I understand that there is that irony there. But when you come out your mouth as a white dude and have the audacity to say, whether you say it directly or you even allude to it, which I read in the comments, but I'm kicked out of the group, so I can't go back in there and check the comments now. Mm-hmm. But you allude to the fact that, is this a byproduct of black male culture? Now, nigga, you don't cross into a line where, if we was in real life, I might have to actually slap you in your motherfucking face right now. That's kind of how I feel about that. Because then I saw some black women co-signing it. And the one was like, well, tell your men to stop raping us. And blah, 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 blah. I'm just like, whoa, wait a second. I'm like, how did everybody just kind of gloss over this little thing that this guy said or alluded to in order to stick to, you know, this other thing about all the irony you were discussing? That was my personal beef with those two white dudes on that thread. I understood everything else they were saying about black men not listening and stuff like that. And then I know you made your comment as well. I don't know if it was directly in reference to me or just everybody on that thread.
It was to everybody on that thread. Oh, because the thing that I found interesting, man, is that like those white dudes were in and they were making the point about the irony of the racism and the sexism and how it was like playing out in the thread. Was that like I was essentially saying the same thing and niggas was ignoring it because they wanted to get on these white dudes. Right. I was essentially saying the exact same thing, but because it was coming out of off the keyboards of some white cats, it was like red meat to some of these niggas. Right. And it was like, yeah, like, oh, no, I can't believe this white man done said it. It's like, hold on, bro. Like, I've been saying the same shit. Now, I even then when I first came into the discussion and I was talking about, you know, listening to what these sisters are saying, because, again, it comes from somewhere. And if we are cognizant of these things that they're talking about, maybe we can do something about it if we stop getting in our feelings so fucking quick and saying, well, it ain't all of us. Like, hey, hold on. Take a break. Listen to what they're saying and empathize with it and see what you can do to alleviate that situation. And it's so many dudes who don't necessarily want to even take that time to do that. Like, well, now you get mocked, right? So If you say anything conciliatory to his sister, it's like, oh, this nigga is donning the cape. Oh, he a captain, save him. It's like, dude, why should I have to don a cape for a sister, though? Like, I shouldn't have to do that at all. This should be our M.O.
And should
so,
be.
But so many niggas are so, it's so many brothers, man, that are so far from it that when you even talk about it, now we get to talking about being alpha and beta males, and she's like, dog, what the fuck is, like, what really? What is that? What does that mean right now? Like, whether or not you could be a decent human being don't have shit to do with you being an alpha or a beta, nothing. Yeah. But a lot of niggas get the shit twisted and don't really get the point. So when the sisters come up and say, hey, man, this here is an issue for us, and then you got brothers pushing back on it, it's like, yo, it's the same thing. And it's like what my man Rod said on Twitter a couple weeks ago about straight black men being the white people for black people.
Yeah, it
was
this shit
was playing out right there in that thread. And I'm sitting up there watching this shit like, man, these niggas are proving the point with every fucking comment.
I think the problem is this is social media, man, because if in real life I come across black women all the time like you do.
Yeah.
And if a black woman came up to me in real life, started expressing their issues about her man or some dude that was doing her wrong around the corner, I don't know of any intelligent, sane brother out there that would just kind of blow her off and not pay attention to what she's saying and then offer his assistance to try to help her if she wants to help. Mm-hmm. On social media, everybody's in a rush to make a point and have and to make a point and to get the last comment.
Yeah.
And then I think we all get lost in that translation where now it comes across, it seems like men are ignoring the women, women are ignoring the men. Everybody just wants to make their point. They don't want to be showing up in front of everybody on social media for some reason. And we're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of doing the same thing as myself. That's the problem, I think, with social media, man, is that it's really hard to truly effectively communicate with people when all you're doing is click-clacking on the keyboard all day long trying to make a point.
Yeah.
So, but in real life, I don't think, like, all them dudes that were on there that had a problem with those white guys, like, I tell you, my specific problem was with what they said in reference to black male culture, the assumption that they created. Everything else, I kind of agreed with for the most part. And I just, that's why I really wasn't commenting too hard on it. But even in real life, I don't think, okay, if those white dudes came up to them black guys in real life at a bar or wherever, we're just chit-chatting and talking, I don't really think it would be that big of a deal. They wouldn't be sitting there arguing back and forth like that in real life, man.
Well, the tone and of the argument, well, that's the thing, too. Like, the tone of the conversations change in real personal interactions.
Yeah.
When you're in front of somebody, even now, like, with me and you speaking, like, there's a different tact that you take with people when you're actually speaking to them or if you're actually in their presence than you would when there really isn't any way for you to, like, with text, it's like, it's hard to get that nuance.
Yeah, so, that's the word.
So when, you know, you see something, or and sometimes you can tell when somebody is just trying to say some sick, you know, say some slick shit. Sometimes you can tell. But for the most part, unless somebody tells you, you know, like, well, I'm not trying to be aggressive or some shit like that, a lot of times you really can't tell.
Yeah.
So, That can be again, like, that could be like a stumbling block as far as, you know, the communication is concerned. But for the most part, I think what got lost in the fact that in that whole argument was, like, black women have certain concerns, and sometimes it feels as if brothers ain't really listening to what they got concerns with, and they totally dismiss it all together. And so, and then it became about, well, these white men in here saying shit, and they totally forgot about what these sisters was talking about.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, I think, you know, like, this perception persists. You know what I mean? Like, there's a ton of brothers out here who get it. There's also a ton of brothers out here who don't. And that's part of the reason why, when I do my show now, man, I speak to a lot of these issues. And I know a lot of niggas that listen to my show like, damn, man, what the fuck is Span talking about? But most of it is just, like, trying to put niggas up. Like, put niggas up on it. Like, when I talk about, like consensual, like, you know, consent when it comes to sex and stuff like that. Honestly, that's not a conversation that I can't remember any of me or my homies growing up having.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's not a conversation that we grew up in, like, yeah, you know, so you got to get that yes, though.
Don't just think that she just because she went to the hotel room with you that it's going down. That don't mean shit. You got to get that yes. A lot of us never grew up with these conversations.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, man, because I created a status update not so long ago saying I exactly what you just said, that I never got the don't rape women talk from my parents. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I still never raped a woman, and I have no desire to rape a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at first I kind of had an issue with people saying, well, we need to teach our boys not to be rapists. And I was like, wait a second. To me, it sounds like you're saying that our kids are naturally rapists. But then something changed. Now, when I was in the Army, I had started reflecting back on this after I made that comment. I was in the Army. My last 4 years in the military, I was an AIT instructor. And basically, that's the person who teaches new Army soldiers how to do their job after they graduate boot camp and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm in here teaching my classes, and I got a bunch of 17, 18, 19-year-old kids in there, men and women. I remember one day, what happened was the soldiers had a weekend pass, like the weekend prior to that.
Yeah.
And a female soldier got sexually assaulted. And then so it wasn't in my class, but just happened to be on that base. So we all came at the class, and then somebody decided to spark up a conversation talking about it. And I just went around the room. I just asked all the males and females, like, hey, tell me in your own words what rape is. And, dude, let me tell you something, man. There was so much victim blaming going on up in this damn room. And
oh, yeah.
Young men and women who didn't honestly know that no means no, or you need to get it damn near in writings from her saying, yes, you can penetrate me, or whatever the case may be, and be sober at the same time, that it really kind of changed my views that, wow, maybe young people do need to be taught this shit. You know what I mean? Because I didn't really think it was that serious in the game, just based off my personal experiences of never having that talk. But now I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, man. Maybe. I mean, I reflect back on it, like, situations growing up, man, where, like, I go back to my college days, man, where you go to a party and people are playing, you know, drinking games and shit, and the girls are drinking out of one bottle, dudes are drinking out of another bottle, and you find out the dudes are drinking out of a bottle that ain't nothing but water, and these girls are getting fucked up, and now they think it's about to go down. Like, shit like that. Or, you know, like, being in situations where you may, you know, think it's about to go down. As a matter of fact, it probably has started going down, and she changes her mind.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And dudes would be like, well, fuck it, I'm already doing it now, and I'm going to finish. Like, at that point, you raping her, dude. Or when cats, like, think that, yo, she's coming to the hotel with me, it's going down. Oh, I bought her some weed, it's going down. I got her some drinks, it's going down. He'd be like, you think that because you did these things that you entitled to her, and that's not the case. And a lot of dudes never had these conversations growing up. Nobody ever teaches us this shit when we was growing up. And so what I do with the show now, man, like, if these are issues that I hear coming up and I'm hearing these sisters talk about it, yo, man, as a dude, hey, we probably need to have these conversations too. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe I should pull your ear to some of this shit too. Maybe, just maybe, it might keep your ass out of jail. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I look at these issues, man, especially when it comes to sisters, very seriously. Like, I know I was irritating the fuck out of folks when I was talking about Bill Cosby. Like, niggas was like getting mad at me, like, damn, man, you still talking about Cosby? Like, dude, I got a daughter. These conversations need to be had. They need to be had. And so, you know, I think that the pushback sometimes, man, that a lot of fellas get when they start pushing back on some of this stuff, man, it kind of lends to that whole thing of niggas not caring. But,
well, I think a lot of dudes online that do a lot of pushback, because, like I say, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm the perfect dude that hasn't done some pushback before. But I'm willing to admit that
We're all guilty of that.
Yeah. But I think a lot of dudes who try to maintain the pushback, they are more, they don't want, I guess, what is that, masculine fragility or male ego? They don't want their ego bruised online, you know? And that's mainly from a lot of the dusty hotep niggas that I see that stick to the script on that type of stuff. But you're right, these conversations do need to be had. And fortunately for me, I'm intelligent enough to know when I'm wrong and to change my stance on things. Because like I said before, I was one of those people who felt like why do I need to go out here and teach people to not be rapists? I never raped anybody, and I never had this conversation. But after talking to those young people and listening, and keep in mind, I'm 36, and I got a 17, 18-year-old kid telling me that, well, if she didn't wear that outfit, or, well, you know, she came to the room and got drunk with me, and I'm just like, Jesus fucking Christ. You know, yeah. Like, what happened between how did the mentality change between from when I was 18 years old to what the hell is in front of me, sitting in front of me right now, to where, well, you think that it's actually okay to do that shit?
I'm going to tell you what changed, man. Like, social media is one. And then two, people actually being able to express the shit that they weren't ever really able to express before. They had to repress a lot of shit because of the way we view, like, the way society was built, made up, man. We've become a lot more liberal in a lot of the ways in which we live lives. And in that liberalism has come a way for people to advocate for themselves, to say what it is that they don't really fuck with and why they don't really fuck with it. And sometimes those are things that we've become comfortable with, right? So, like, just take, for instance, the attitude that a young man would have that, okay, so I bought her drinks, therefore she should be able to, like, we should be having some sex. Like, there comes that, like, that attitude is kind of, is bred from entitlement. Like, all I like, I'm entitled to this. And so if it works for us, we don't want to see that shit change, right? The same way we're like, make that correlation. When we talk about white folks and black folks, you know, white and black relations or whatever. When it comes to this, like, it's a lot of dudes who see this change where women are standing up and saying, like, this is shit I won't tolerate. This is shit I won't allow. This is shit that ain't going down around me. When you start hearing these women speak up, a lot of dudes are looking at this shit like, wait a minute, man, but it was cool the way it was before. Almost like when white folks are like, hey, let's make America great again. Let's go back to the shit we used to do, when I used to just be able to knock your ass out and just take it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's that correlation there, man. Like, and a lot of people get comfortable in the way things are because they're benefiting from it. And when those who aren't benefited from it start speaking up and saying, nah, man, this is pretty fucked up, that's when you start getting that pushback.
Yeah, I guess I can agree with that, man.
Think about it. When it comes to Bill Cosby, a lot of the defense that I heard about Bill Cosby is like, why'd they go to the room with him? Why'd they take these drugs? Why would they, you know, be wearing that? Why would they meet him at X time? And it became a thing of blaming them for what was happening to them. And not only that, a lot of those people who were talking about, they took the drugs, they met them here, they met them there, what they're really doing is they're defending themselves because they've done all of these same things. So if Bill Cosby is a rapist, therefore that makes me a rapist too, because I've done some of that same shit. And that's what I was telling him. I'm like, yo, watch these niggas that are so hard on this shit about whether or not these women are making this shit up or not. Watch them, because what they're really telling you is, I probably done that shit too.
Yeah. Me, when it comes to Bill Cosby and things, I've never really took a position on one side or the other, because I was like, you know, I'm not going to lie, part of me was like, I hope this isn't true. And then as more and more women came out, I was like, man, I wonder if this dude really did this shit. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try to be as neutral as possible for the time being, based off of available evidence, because when it comes to rape, man, I say this all the time about rape and child molestation. Those are like the two crimes that I can think of in the world that once you get accused of that stuff, the side eye will forever be there whether you did it or not. Yeah. And so, I mean, because I used to live next door to this dude, as a matter of fact. Shoot, man, I remember one day I walk outside, there's 20 FBI cars on my block going in and out of my neighbor's house. They arrested him for child porn.
Yeah,
but then they released him. So I was like, well, maybe he actually was innocent, but the side eye was always there.
Yeah.
Then about a year later, I go outside, 20 more FBI cars out there hauling him off. Turns out he was guilty as hell. They sentenced this dude to life plus 600 years in prison. Mm. But this dude was my next door neighbor for like 5 years. But anyways, when it comes to rape and things of that nature, man, I try to remain as neutral as possible. I don't really talk about it as much because I need to, before I just call somebody a rapist, I have to be convinced that, man, there is some real serious evidence there. Now, I do understand that a lot of rapists do are acquitted that may have actually raped an actual woman, but, and you know, it's just a whole big clusterfuck of all kind of things that go against women in general when it comes to sexual assault and rape and things of that nature. But I just, me personally, I try to be as neutral as possible for as long as I possibly can before coming to a decision one way or another about how I feel about a person. That's why I haven't really said much about Cosby, but I have said some stuff about Nate Parker. Based upon the evidence that I have seen so far that has come to light. Now, if something comes out saying, yeah, this dude actually did this shit, because I think about that as well. Nate Parker and I, we're the same age. We were in college the same years. And I can think about all the parties I've gone to where I've gotten drunk, and me and this chick got drunk, and we went back to the dorm room and did our little thing. And I think about all the times that, man, if this was 2016 and I was a sophomore in college doing this crap that I did back in 1999 or something like that, man, I might have to actually honestly be worried because, you know, some of this stuff, whether it can come across looking like I really may have done some shit, even though I haven't done some shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, man, it's with this whole rape thing, dude, I'm not saying that women are making stuff up. They don't deserve to be listened to, or that rape victims are, you know, they don't get equal justice. Because I believe all those stats that women say. But, man, I don't know, man. Those are just the two things that I honestly try my best to avoid talking about for as long as possible, because I just don't want to pick a – I don't want to pick a side too early. You know what I'm saying? And then be labeled a rape apologist or, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, man. So
yeah, man. I know for me, though, man, like when I talk about these issues, like one of the biggest things that always comes up is dudes be like, man, what y'all want us to do? You know, like, you want me to go out here and smack all these niggas? Like, nah, you ain't got to do all that. But there are certain things that you could do just for, like, people in your circle. Like, a lot of times it's just about letting folks know what you will and will not tolerate around you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if folks know that, like, there's certain things that you really ain't fucking with, either they going to modify their behavior or they going to move the fuck around. And that's it.
And if, you're right.
And like, it doesn't really take a whole hell of a lot for, you know, for dudes to kind of, you know, make a more comfortable space for they, you know, for the sisters, man. It's really not, it doesn't take a whole hell, like a Herculean effort as much as dudes are trying to like say it is. Like, nah, man, there's certain things that you shouldn't accept, and there's certain things that you shouldn't accept happening around you, and you let motherfuckers around you know, like, nah, I'm not fucking with that.
Yeah. You would think that's common sense, man, but
it ain't.
Apparently it's not. And I don't know if that's I want to blame it on it being a generational thing, but then again, I can't blame it because I like to always say us 80s babies who were raised in the 90s, I like to say, man, we're so much different than these 90s babies raised in the 2000s, but I can look at dudes that are older than me that be on that same bullshit too, man. I'm just like, well, maybe it's just an individual thing. I don't know what's really going on because I try to keep people in my circles. Like, I don't, if a person is doing some, I always tell people, don't come around me doing no dumb shit. Cause I will report your ass if I have to.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, I got a wife, I got kids going on over here. And I ain't finna have you indirectly fuck my life up just in order to, be loyal to our friendship. Like, nigga, fuck you. My wife and kids come before anybody else around here. You know what I mean? So I don't know, man.
Yeah. I don't know. So, before we get out of here, I got a couple segments that I do, right?
Yep.
And, let's see. Hold on. Damn it, I ain't even got my shit queued up. Span, what are you doing over here? Okay. Now, this is a new segment, dude. Like, I just started this the last time I did the show. I started this. This is called, Sexy Time with Mr. Span.
Okay.
Baby, it's sexy time with Mr. Span.
Nigga, I can't even make it out of that shit, but I'm laughing at it, dude. All right.
Try to figure out where is this going.
But. Oh, man. All right, man. No, see, the Sexy Time with Mrs. Span segment is really about finding some funny-ass or strange-ass stories regarding the sex lives of all everyday people. Oh, and with this story here, man, I found this story on Motherboard. What was it? Motherboardvice.com. And apparently, all you motherfuckers who use the Brazzers or Brazzers, whatever the fuck that site name is, porn site, oh, y'all shit got hacked, yo. Like 800,000 you motherfuckers. Y'all conversations, y'all video histories, all that shit is just out there, son. So, Vice.com is reporting that nearly 800,000 accounts for porn, popular porn site Brazzers, has been exposed in a data breach. Although the data originated from the company's separate forum, Brazzers users who never signed up in the forum may also find their details included in the dump. Motherboard was provided the data set by breach monitoring site Vigilante for verification purposes. The data concludes 790,724 unique email addresses and also includes usernames and plain text passwords. It's unfortunate that my information was included in the breach, but that's the risk you run by making an account anywhere on the web. A browser user who asked to remain anonymous told Motherboard in an email.
Sounds like that website Ashley Madison.
Oh man, Ashley Madison, all the motherfuckers looking to cheat, and it wasn't even a whole lot of women on that site for them to cheat with. Like most of them were like bot accounts or some shit. Yeah. Matt Stevens, public relations manager from Brazzers, told Motherboard in an email, "This matches an incident that occurred in 2012 with our Brazzers forum, which was managed by a third party. The incident occurred because of a vulnerability in the said third-party software." Y'all motherfuckers didn't learn y'all lessons the first time.
Well, you know, I'm actually happy this happened because that keeps people like me employed in the IT industry, because my actual background and my degree is actually in this thing called information assurance. Uh-huh. It actually deals with people hacking into websites and hacking into servers and things of that nature. So, you know, I encourage it. Hey, keep on hacking these porn sites, man. Y'all keep people like me employed.
Listen, so. The porn sites, I don't think I've ever even, like, I haven't signed into a porn site. It's been some years, man.
Yeah, I don't see why you would have to. You got Pornhub for free, or RedTube, or whatever.
You got Pornhub, RedTube, Xvideos, Xhamster. I know it's a lot, and yeah, your man Span knows about them all. But... But I'm just saying, man, like, you signing in, dude? Like, you actually having conversations with I get it, man. I ain't judging y'all, but still. Man,
well, I tell people, okay, if you're going to sign
funny,
in.
Man, this shit is funny.
Create a fake account, man, because I got about 5 email addresses. And, like, you know how you go to the mall and people have you sign up for, hey, win a trip, sign this. I have an email account specifically for signing up for crap like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you're really about that life to where you have to sign in to these forums, create a fake email account with a fake name and all that stuff to try to reduce the risk of you being exposed for who you really are. You know?
Indeed, man, indeed. But yeah, man, be safe out there on these internet streets with y'all porn viewing. Stop signing up for this shit. Except for you motherfuckers who like uploading. I love y'all motherfuckers. Go ahead and upload that shit. All the rest of you motherfuckers need to be careful.
Shout out to Pinky, man.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to her.
I met her. I know her.
Oh, you pulling a Stephen A. on us. Okay.
No, I'm just, well, yeah, I am. Actually, she's, remember that Hispanic girl I was telling you about? That's actually her cousin, man. I met her a long time ago before she became Pinky the porno star.
Oh, okay. That's what's up. Now, I got a couple things. Oh, shit. Yeah, that's right. It's the Ass Hat of the Week segment. God damn it. Why is it so low? Let me do this again. Span, you tripping.
Yo. We got some hats now, motherfuckers.
All right. Now, the ass hat of the week this week is... We got 2 of them, y'all. We got Pastor Mark Burns and Bishop Wayne T. Jackson. Bishop Wayne T. Jackson recently had Donald Trump on the west side of Detroit in his church for an interview, right? Oh. Folks were boycotting, you know, like they were protesting outside, man. Like, it was a whole bunch of people out there. I actually started to get my ass up and go down there, too. But then they had, like, you know, Secret Service had streets and shit blocked off. And then on top of that, like, what I didn't know was that if you were going to try to get into the church, that the church event was actually invite only.
Bruh, are these actual asses on the hats on the screenshot?
Those are ass hats, man. Those are ass hats. Those are ass hats. Oh, all right? Goodness. Now, Wayne T. Jackson, not only did he pretty much didn't even invite his entire congregation from his church. It was a select few people who were invited to come to this event, right? There's yeah. that. Then the second thing was, he said it was an interview. It wasn't an endorsement, but the interview was scripted. He had already sent the questions that that were going to be asked Donald Trump, and Trump was already going to have some pre-rehearsed answers to those questions. Third, Wayne T. Jackson has yet to release that interview. This happened almost 2 weeks ago.
Oh, it already happened.
It already happened. The interview has been done. Now, and four, Donald Trump went to this church to stump and to speak to the black community and to address the black community concerns. And Donald Trump couldn't speak from the heart. Donald Trump did that entire goddamn presentation with a piece of paper. He read his entire damn statement from a piece of paper in front of everybody in that damn in that hall. Wayne T. Jackson allowed his church to be used as a stomping ground for Republican, well, not, I'm not even going to make it about him being Republican, for Donald Trump, who doesn't give a fuck about the community surrounding that church. And for that, Wayne T. Jackson is an asshat this week. As a matter of fact, hold on, I think I got this video. Let me see if I got this video. Yeah, hold on just a second. Let me play this. Because Wayne T. Jackson was being called an Uncle Tom, and he didn't like it. So let's play Wayne.
Hey, good evening, guys. Yeah, last night the Trump campaign said that Donald Trump will take about 10 minutes to address the congregation tomorrow, but the bishop said today he's heard nothing of it, so no one really knows what to expect. Detroiters and the nation questioning Donald Trump's sincerity after a script was leaked showing his visit to Detroit was to be, well, scripted. All of it. A Q&A with Bishop Wayne Jackson of Great Faith Ministries is an attempt by Trump to reach out to the black community. But the questions were submitted in advance, and the answers we've learned already written today. The bishop telling us by phone he may throw Trump a curveball.
I changed the questions up. I have confidential questions sitting right here by me now that nobody has seen but my secretary who typed them up. And it's in an envelope saying, Apostle Wayne Jackson, confidential. Nobody knows. I have not discussed it with Trump's camp or anybody else.
In downtown Detroit tonight, like the nation, views were split on the visit.
At least he's trying, because you have to be a president of all people, not just, you know, one type of people. So I think it's a good thing.
He's trying to manipulate people into thinking he's doing the right thing for the minority, but he's not really doing the right thing. It's not a good thing. And I don't see nothing good coming out of it.
Do you think it's genuine?
No, but I don't think nothing about it because I ain't voting for him nowhere.
I think he's a little late. I don't think he can identify with poor people. I don't think it's just African American. I don't think it's just a black and white issue. I think it's a green issue.
But everyone we spoke to agreed on one thing.
I think he should answer questions. I think he should. Questions and concerns that people have. And I don't think it should be scripted.
And Detroit native Dr. Ben Carson, also a former GOP hopeful, presidential hopeful, will be giving Donald Trump a tour of Detroit neighborhoods before Mr. Trump heads out of Detroit. We're live downtown tonight. I'm Jonathan Carlson, 7 Action News.
Jonathan, thank you for that. Of course, we'll be watching closely this weekend.
All right. Uh-oh. Hey, and the shit's starting up again. All right. But yeah, man. So Wayne T. Jackson is an asshat this week. But not just him, though. Not just him. Have you guys heard of Mark Burns?
Yeah, he's the preacher out of South Carolina, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I think he was just recently busted or something, yeah. Exposed.
Mark Burns was just exposed as being a bit of a hustler. And, you know, Trump, he knows a hustler when he sees one, right? So, hold on a second. Let me pull this up. Mark Burns being exposed.
Do you attend North Greenville University?
I did attend North Greenville University.
Did you graduate from North Greenville University?
No, I didn't complete it.
Wait, what the hell just happened? Too much going on, Span. Too much going on. Okay, here we go.
The great North Greenville University.
Okay, again, the bio that's on your website claims that you earned a Bachelor of Science degree.
that pause in that.
Did you make that claim?
I asked you just a moment ago as we were just opening up this. And first of all, I said that we were off the record.
I didn't agree to that.
Yeah, but I did. I did.
We're still rolling. I'm still asking you questions on the record. Did you make that claim that you graduated from North Greenville University?
Because I think this is not fair that you this is not fair at all. This is not what I agreed to. I thought we were doing a profile, and all of a sudden you're here to try to destroy my character.
I'm not coming here to destroy your character. These are claims that were made on your website that was live while you were speaking at the Republican National Convention. My question is, are those claims accurate?
The Trump campaign hasn't responded. Pastor Burns has just a short time ago. He put out a statement that reads in part, quote, "As a young man starting my church in Greenville, South Carolina, I overstated several details of my biography because I was worried I wouldn't be taken seriously as a new pastor. This was wrong. I wasn't truthful then, and I have to take full responsibility for my actions." He continues, "I do also want to set the record straight about why this is this attack is happening, because I am a black man supporting Donald Trump for president. For too long," he says, "African-American votes have been taken for granted by Democratic politicians, and enough is enough. It's a shame that the political insiders and the media choose to attack me because I'm not going to stay silent about Hillary Clinton's pandering to our community."
Interesting he would speak about pandering to the community, and that's exactly what the fuck Donald Trump just got finished doing in that church in Detroit.
Yeah, you're right. So they left something out of that clip, man. Not only did he didn't graduate college, and he didn't serve in the reserves, but he also lied about being the Kappa, Kappa Alpha Psi. And because we had featured him on the Brown Liquor Experience, we got a segment we call Coon of the Week on there.
Yeah,
two of my co-hosts, my younger brother and one of his homeboys, they just happened to be Kappas, and they was like, "Oh man, you know." So
yeah, my father-in-law is a Kappa.
Oh, okay. So yeah.
It was that. Yeah. Either way, Donald Trump got some clowns around him. And both of them have earned asshat of the week recognition here at the Spare Report. Now, normally I would have a champ of the week as well. I don't have one this week. Niggas really? Been fucking up. Niggas been fucking up.
So we ain't got nobody that did some good stuff this week?
Colin Kaepernick?
Besides Kaepernick, yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, nobody really stepped up and did anything extraordinary to the point where I thought they deserved champ of the week this week. So I'm not just going to give it out. And so with that, it's about time for us to get out of here. But before we do, Gil, let everybody know how to get in touch with you over there at The Onyx Truth, brother.
All right, everybody. So if you guys want to keep up with everything that's going on with me, you visit theonyxtruth.com, O-N-Y-X-T-R-U-T-H.com. From there, we got all my social medias. You can find the Onyx Truth Podcast Network. Currently, we got the Onyx Truth Podcast, my little solo show where I do my little rants and ravings about whatever. We got the Onyx Truth Live. This is a live internet broadcast we do. We got the Brown Liquor Experience. That's with me, my younger brothers, our cousin, and our homeboy Eddie, where we just get talk mad, reckless, ratchet shit just for the hell of it. And we got another show. I think we got a couple more shows in the process, but that's what we got cooking up over there right now. OnyxTruth.com. You hit me off the email, Gil@OnyxTruth, voicemail 706-550-1785, but OnyxTruth.com. That's where I'm at.
Indeed, man, indeed. And, of course, before I get out of here, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spare Report. Let your voice be heard, man. Hit me up at that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Hit me up on the email at feedback@thesparereport.com. That's feedback@thesparereport.com. Those emails get read here on the show, and I respond here on the show as well. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. Like the Mr. Span fan page so you guys can catch these podcasts live as they happen on your tablet, on your phone, on your computer, on your TV for those of y'all who got Chromecast devices and shit. All of that. Check it out on the Facebook, man. We're doing it on the Facebook. And for all of your Spare Report needs, man, go to www.thesparereport.com. Get the podcast. Watch the videos. Vote in the polls. Make comments on the post. Everything's there. Everything's there. So, yeah, man, it's time for us to get out of here. I'd like to thank Gil for coming on here and chatting it up with me here at the Spare Report. And I'd like to thank you guys for watching and thank you guys for listening. So until next time, fam, peace.